We're doing Rav Chalapan Parshat Shlach Lecha, and we're learning the final piece, Avodat Eretz Yisrael, the working of the land of Israel. Our parasha begins, God tells Moshe, Shlach Lecha Anashim. You send people as you want. And right away Rashi comments, the Medrash, Ledatcha. You think you should, go ahead. Ani einim tzaveh lecha, I'm not commanding you to do it. Im tirtzeh, shlach. If you want to, you could send. And that's why the parasha begins with Shlach Lecha. You send as you desire. The idea of Ledatcha, the idea of Hashem saying, in accordance with your opinion, is like what the Talmud says in Tractate Baba Metzia, that let's say you have a responsibility to watch over an item, and you give that responsibility to the next guard. So you were instructed to guard an item, and you ask guard number two, can you guard this for me? So you took your responsibility and passed it on. So then Abaye says, the master, the owner can tell you, I don't want someone else to watch my item, I entrusted it with you. I didn't ask someone else to watch it. So the Talmud asks, but we know that if you rent an animal and you lend it and then the animal dies, so then the person who rented it has to validate that in fact it died and he didn't misuse it. And then the borrower is actually responsible to pay. If you borrow an animal and it dies by you, you got to pay. So the borrower has to pay the person who rented it. Yeah? You rent it, you lend. The guy who lent it is responsible to you, and you are not responsible to the owner, because you tell the owner, it wasn't misused, if you can validate that. So the Talmud says, why can't the guy who rented it out say, I trusted you? Just like when you appoint a guard, you say, I trusted you, you shouldn't have given that responsibility to someone else. Why can't the owner say it? So the Gemara says, we're talking about a scenario where built into the contract was permission.
Was permission to lend it out.
But that's what it is, because if you borrow something from a friend, you normally would be responsible for anything, but if you use it exactly the way it's supposed to be used, and it just drops
down no.
the field, you're not responsible.
You have to, okay, yeah, wait, that's meta machmat melacha, that's while it's working.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once you bring it back to the barn, you're out of luck.
It's right. We're talking about in the barn it died.
Right.
We're not talking about it died while it worked. So the Gemara says, so how could he lend it out? So the Gemara says he gave him permission. When he rented it, he told him you have permission also to lend it out. The Gemara says that's very nice. But then effectively the owner lent it out and the borrower should pay back the owner. If the owner said, I give you permission to lend it to the next guy, so then the owner effectively is the one who lent it. So then when the borrower has to pay, he shouldn't pay back the renter, he should pay back the borrower. Answers the Gemara, that when the owner said, he didn't say, you can lend it to your neighbor. He said, you do what you want. So long as it's rented by you, it's your responsibility. You want to lend it out, your responsibility. What he's saying is oh, that if you'll be culpable, you'll have to pay. If you won't be culpable, you won't have to pay. So when the animal dropped dead, the renter is not culpable. But the borrower is culpable to the renter. Yeah? That's the Gemara's answer. So Rav Harlap says, that's what their Bon Shalom was telling Moshe. The same wording in the Talmud. When the person lends, that when the person rents out the item, he says, Lida'atcha. You can do with it in accordance with your understanding. In other words, you're taking responsibility for the outcome. That's what the Ribono Shel Olam told Moshe. You want to send spies? Lidatcha. In accordance with your understanding. The Ribono Shel Olam isn't saying, I don't want it or I do want it. The Ribono Shel Olam is saying, I'm not fighting you, but I am giving you responsibility. You're responsible for the outcome. So that's step number one.
Saying it to all Israel, saying it just
to Moshe. There are three aspects when we analyze Torah. There is chova, mitzvah, reshut. The Mishnah tells us. There are mitzvot that are incumbent, everyone must do them. There are mitzvot that it's a mitzvah, and then there are mitzvot which you don't have to do, but if you do it, you get a mitzvah. There are three levels. The ideal is a chova. A chova is a mitzvah where the Torah says you can't live without this. And that's like in our body, we have different organs. You have organs that a person can't live without. So mitzvot that are classified as chova, says Rav Chalap, are mitzvot that you can't be without. Those are mitzvot you can't live without, your existence can't be without them. It's like living without a heart. The next level is a mitzvah. And those are mitzvot which are great, and you've been commanded to perform them, but they're not on the level of chova. So it's the level of mitzuvevo, so when I do it, I'm doing what God told me to do. And then you have reshut. And reshut has the benefit that it's a no mitzuvevo, so I'm doing something that I wasn't commanded to do. I'm commanded, we'll see in a minute. There are mitzvot where you do all three together. Chova, mitzvah, reshut. For example, the mitzvah of ahava. There's a concept of ahava where if a person says, I have a mitzvah to love. Do I love? Don't I love? I have a mitzvah to love. There are different things. We have a mitzvah to love. We have a mitzvah to love Hashem. We have a mitzvah to love our parents. It's interesting. Most people don't know that. Our parents will say, you don't have a mitzvah to love me. You have a mitzvah to respect me. No. There are places in the Medrash where it says you should love your parents. You should look at them in a positive eye. A person assuming that they're positive people. You should try to see them in a positive light. When we look at the mitzvot of Eretz Yisrael, so a person has to bring himself to the recognition that it is a better land and it is more blessed. It is the land flowing with milk and honey. It is the land that promotes longevity. It is the land that gives value to life. And so a person can do the mitzvah on the level of, I have to do it. I don't have a choice. No, says Rav Chalap, within mitzvot, we find mitzvot where all three are relevant. You can do the mitzvah as I have to. V'avta l'recha kamocha. Okay, I'm supposed to love my fellow man like myself. So I can, a guy can come and ask me, can I borrow your pencil? So I start doing the mathematical calculations. I don't want to lend him my pencil. But I have a mitzvah, v'avta l'recha kamocha. I'm supposed to love him like myself, so I'm going to lend him my pencil. Now part of v'avta l'recha kamocha is I have to make him feel good about my lending my pencil. So I'm going to smile. Sure you can borrow my pencil. I put on a big smile and I convince him. He thinks, I did the mitzvah on the level of chova. I can put a check, I did what I had to do. Can I bring myself to the point where I'm really happy giving him my pencil? Can I bring myself to the point where I've developed in my performance of the mitzvah so that I can do it not only as a chova and a mitzvah, but even as a reshut? I don't have to, but I'm going to. Says Rav Chalap, within performance of mitzvot, we sometimes have these three components. And one of them is connecting to the land of Israel. You could be here and you could be like the guy who's lending the pencil. I'm going to put on a smile. I'm supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to talk positive about the land of Israel. You ever seen those conversations where people start saying all kinds of wonderful things and then they say, but you got to talk positive about Israel. This is a wonderful land. I'm so happy to be here. And wait, are you seeing the good? Or are you working with, I have to, so I'm going to. Hey, better that than not, right? Better at least you're doing what's right. But within the performance of the mitzvah, we strive to develop all three aspects. And that's why, says Rav Chalap, there's a mitzvah to see the natural beauty of Israel. The Torah says, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Do you see the milk and honey? And that's why Hashem gives them permission to tour the land. There's no question this is the right land. There's no question this is the good land. The question is, can the people of Israel enter the land and see the aspects of beauty? Why do the spies come back with fruits? Wouldn't it make more sense that they come back with plans? Map out the land. Come back and tell us, this is how you're going to attack this city. The order of battle should be like this. I'm asking you, if we were sending spies into a land we're about to attack, what we would ask him is, bring me back some fruit. Who cares about the fruit? What am I sending spies for? Whatever fruit there is, I'm going to learn to eat quinoa, I'm going to learn to eat falafel, whatever they eat in that land, I'll figure it out, I'll learn. That's what matters. The spies come back with fruit? Says Rav Harlap, the point of the spies, in Moshe's mind, the point of the spies was so that we can be excited over where we're going. Come back and tell me about the view. Come back and tell me about the fruit. Come back and tell me the beautiful things so that I can not only go in because God told me. I'm doing what God said. I have a pillar of cloud before me. I have a pillar of fire. I have the ark before me. I better go in line because God's telling me where to go. I want to be excited. I want to go and be excited. And I want to just go on a slight tangent. This is something we have to develop in life. Excitement. Sometimes us men are very tempted to surprise people. We like surprising people. I was going to surprise my parents. I was going to fly in. This story goes back 14, 15 years ago. I was going to go visit my parents. And I mentioned it when we were by my in-laws for Shabbos. And my mother-in-law gave me one of the best pieces of advice. She said, could you tell your parents you're coming? I said, that'll ruin the surprise. And my mother-in-law said to me, believe me, I'm a parent. When a child tells you they're coming in a few weeks, you start counting the days. You have so much joy anticipating that child coming that you'll give them so much more. If you tell them I'm coming in 3 weeks and 4 weeks, you'll give them so much more than just showing up and surprising them. You'll give them the joy of anticipation. Well, we should also have the joy of anticipation. There was an alumni of ours who once told me that before he goes to sleep, he takes 3 10 agurot coins and puts it in his talis bag. He has a little wallet so he can give tzedakah the next morning. When he goes to shul, he likes to put in 3 coins in the tzedakah box. He said, you know, I feel like I'm already in shul. I go to sleep connecting to shul. I go to sleep anticipating the next morning I'm going to give tzedakah in shul. So, what beauty. I'm connecting, I'm anticipating. Says Rav Chalap, the purpose of the spies was to arouse that excitement. And a person has to try and arouse that excitement within themselves. Yes?
So a question on the strategic aspect of the spies that you mentioned. You could, I see, a contrast between the strategy that you just described about Moshe sending in the spies to arouse anticipation, excitement, to get the fruits, to look at what we're inheriting, versus what you said that he didn't do, which was make battle plans, which I guess you could say is when Yehoshua sent spies in, is exactly what he did. What then, what do we learn from the difference between Moshe's strategy and Yehoshua's strategy, and maybe it also reflects the difference between the first generation and the second generation of the Jews in the desert? Or
I prefer we hear Rav Chalap out and then see if we still have questions. Say that? And this is the difference between the land of Israel and Chutz Laaretz. In Israel, part of the service of Hashem has to be through Teva. It's not just, I go to my Beis Medrash. I'm living in Krakow, I'm living in Germany, I'm living in Brooklyn. So outside, I deal with whatever I have to deal with. And then I want to be spiritual, so I'm going to find my spirituality in the shul or in the home. It's, No. In Israel, when you're looking at a plant, when you're looking at fruit, fruit needs a hechsher here. Nature is part of our holiness. It's part of our connection. The land is part of our connection. It's known that many great people, when they get off the plane, they get down and kiss the land. Last year was Shemitah. There were Hasidish Rebbes that when the year began, they said good Shabbos to the land. The land has its Shabbos year, right? It has its sabbatical. Someone asked me at the end of last year, as we were approaching Rosh Hashanah, are you going to wish the land a good vach? coming back to Rav Chalap. So, in Israel, our service of Hashem connects to nature. It's not separate. The love of Hashem that a person is supposed to attain in the land of Israel, the love of Hashem in his mitzvot and his way of life that he's given us, has to be as we see it in nature. This is right, and we can see it in nature what we won't see in Chutz La'aretz. And when a person is in the land of Israel, a person is supposed to appreciate that even on the natural levels, Israel is the best place in the world for me. It's not just that spiritually I can do mitzvot here. No. In nature, this is the best place for me. In Chutz La'aretz, much of a person's avodah is focused on, let me take control of my desires. Let me subdue the inappropriate desires. And Eretz Yisrael, it's different. And these spies were the leaders of Israel. And they entered Israel with the thought, the focus is subdue your desires. And they enter Israel and they realize that's not the way you serve Hashem in this land. In Israel, you purify your desires. You purify yourself to a point where you're free of the inclinations that lead you the wrong way. But it's not a question of subduing the way it is in Chutz La'aretz. In Israel, there's a goal to remove defilement from the land completely. But they came in, and they weren't prepared for that approach. They were, with the approach of the Judaism I knew until now, was very focused on conquer your desires. And when they enter Israel, they can't see a different way of serving Hashem. And so they come back and they tell the people, no, this isn't for you. The Holy Zohar writes, they came back and they understood that when they enter Israel, they will not be the leaders. After seeing the land, they understood they will not be the leaders, says Rav Chalap. They understood that in Israel you serve Hashem differently than in Chutz La'aretz. They understood that there's an element where things become so much more natural here. It's a different life than Chutz La'aretz. And they understood they weren't connecting to it, so they would not be able to lead the people. They came back and said, look at it. Look at it. In nature, forget the man. Look at the nature. Look at how things are supposed to be. So they came. They came to Israel with a vantage point that was unwilling to connect to what they were seeing. And they came back and said, that's not for us. Entering the land of Israel, in truth, says Rav Chalap, is part of a global redemption. When Israel frees itself from the bondage of exile, the world at large, all of existence, shifts. The general trend of redemption is not only so that people will come and convert to Israel. This is part of the concept of redemption. As the Nevi'im repeatedly say, you'll be a light unto the nations. But it's also, as the Pasuk says, nations will recognize this is the way to go. Let's go see where the light of Hashem is supposed to lead us. It's not just a question of connecting, it's also a question of following, seeing a path to go down. So there will be those who will convert. But there will be those who will say, I'm not converting, but I appreciate their greatness and I want to connect without becoming a part of it. And the nations are to gain a recognition that the house of Yaakov is in Israel. The world is supposed to come and say, they belong there. This is where they belong. It says about the Torah, Zachah na'aset lo sam chayim, if a person purifies himself, the Torah becomes the spice of life. And if he does not purify himself, lo zachah na'aset lo sam ha'mavet. Torah can be the spice of death. That's what the Gemara says. Says Rav Chalap, the same is true with the trend that the nations will appreciate Israel, their stature, and their connection to the land of Israel. Those who are willing to connect to the concept, that will be a spice of life to them. Those who, he says, and that connection will be a blessing for them. It'll help elevate Israel, but it will be a blessing to them as well. Because when we go up, they will go up with us. But if they say no, we will fight the trend. We will fight Israel's connection and claim to the land. We will fight and try to remove Israel. if people say, we'll let them come back, we'll let them establish a government, but not because we value Israel's stature. They're not worth anything. They're no different than anyone else. But if they have a good government, we benefit. If we have a power in the Middle East that connects to us, it's in our interest. If that's the approach, so then they will remain in their darkness and they will only lose by it. They will say, I want a partnership with Israel. But it won't be out of a respect. God told these people to be here. These people have a special role in the world. So even though they're interested in partnering with us, but it's for the wrong reasons, then they won't be elevated with us. And that's why in the Second Temple, we return to Israel as the Persian king Koresh says, you can return. And as we see now, says Rav Chalap, we see that Hashem, who's making these plans, and it seems that Hashem wants the nations to recognize that we have a right to the land of Israel. And the world and the global declaration has said, Israel, Rav Chalap says the way things should have played themselves out did not. He says the world should have valued the values of Israel. And the world did not. And that's why he says they didn't benefit from it. I'm not sure if he's talking about our Arab neighbors. I'm not sure who he's talking about when he says that. He leaves it. He says on the one hand the nations say Israel has a right to the land. On the other hand, they're saying that's the order of the world, indigenous people, a territory, but not because they say there's anything special about Israel and the land of Israel. That connection they're not seeing.
He said, likewise, Koresh.
He said, in the days of Koresh, and the same thing now, the approach is geopolitical. It's let's ensure that these people have a territory. The approach was not, these people have a special place, a special responsibility in the world, and a special connection to the land, and we value what they're supposed to contribute to the world. That has nothing to do with it. It's let's keep these indigenous people in their territory. And that's why, says Rav Chalap, the people who facilitated do not get the blessings they could have gotten out of it.
It's strange because it would sound like the people who kind of get it right, but for the wrong reason, would be the evangelicals.
Could be.
They clearly seem to say that we have this from Hashem. Now, what happens after that? Problematic.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And now we can understand. The Rambam explains the difference between Yeshua's conquest of the land of Israel, where when Yeshua conquered the land of Israel, so his conquest was with the stipulation that if another conquest would overtake Israel, then the sanctity would be abolished. And then Ezra comes back to the Second Temple and he re-sanctifies the land of Israel. And that sanctity is not through a military conquest, and so he gives a greater holiness in that sense to the land of Israel, one that the land retains. So the commentary, the Kesef Mishnah of Yosef Karo asks, but after Yeshua conquered, he also had that ability to give holiness through, now it's mine. Meaning step one was the conquest, but when you impart holiness, why couldn't they impart the holiness by saying, now it's mine? Why is there a difference between giving holiness when you make a chazakah, you say, I make an act of acquisition, an act of ownership, which is what Ezra did, or by doing it through conquest, through military might, like Yeshua did? So he says like this. Technically, the world should look up and say, we look up to you, teach us the way to serve Hashem. In the days of Yeshua, they didn't do it. So that means the world was not in the place it should have been. And so the sanctity that Yeshua could impart on the land wasn't a long-term, for the rest of the world, sanctity to the land of Israel. In the days of Ezra, it was done through Koresh. The world was in a better place in that sense. And the king was saying, I want the Jews back there. I don't know what the balance is between his previous paragraph and this paragraph, where he says, on the one hand, in the days of Koresh, they gave us a license, yet they didn't value our connection to the land. Yet he's saying, because they gave us a license, because it was half-baked, it was half-right, that allowed us to give holiness to the land that we couldn't have given otherwise. It was, let's say, step one in the right direction. Just as we would say, our return to the land of Israel now is hopefully step one in the right direction. We're not yet there, but it's a step in the right direction. So he's saying it's a more major step than in Yeshua, because by Yeshua he had to fight. Because by Yeshua the nations weren't ready to let him have the land. In the days of Ezra and in our time, the nations are ready. So they've taken step one in the right direction. They're not willing to take step two. They're not willing to recognize that there's a special connection or a special duty that Israel has in the land, but they've at least taken step one. And that, says Rav Chalap, is a step in the direction of eternity. It's a step of in putting the world in the right place on the map.
Even if for the wrong reasons.
Right. That's what's interesting, yes. Okay, I'm holding off on questions now just because I do want to try to finish this. And that's why the Pasuk says, Moshe sent them to tour the land. And the Midrash says that when Moshe sent them, the Girgashi, or the Midrash sometimes calls them Canaan, left. Meaning when Moshe sent the spies, the people had agreed in Israel, we're leaving. If God is intent on giving them the land, we're ready to leave. And Moshe was hoping that entering the land of Israel would help the whole world be elevated. And when the nations would step away, it wouldn't be as we find by Yeshua, when they say, we're so scared of you, but rather it would be, we recognize you have a job to perform here. You belong here. And then Israel can affect the nations when the nations view them that way. And then as Israel grows, the nations grow. But the spies couldn't imagine such a thing. Vayalu vayaturu et haaretz. When they went up, it says Moshe sent them to tour the land of Canaan, the land where the people were prepared to see us as being different, as rightful heirs, as people with a duty. They didn't go to see the land of Canaan. They didn't go with the vantage point of the inhabitants of the land, because they were not prepared for that direction that the world and Israel were going to take. That's why it says they went out to see the land. They were going to see a piece of property. They were not going to see the greatness and the potential that Moshe was sending them to see. In Israel, one has to attain a level of purity, a level where things are holy and right, a level that is not involved in, what do they call the settlements? Conquered land, right?
Occupied.
You're not supposed to work through the approach, I want to occupy and conquer others. You're supposed to approach it, as Judah the Maccabee said, this is ours for generations. You're supposed to approach it as better than Judah the Maccabee. You're supposed to approach it as, I'm supposed to be here for the sake of the world, for the sake of my doing what I'm supposed to do and helping the whole world. And so when we're approaching the land of Israel, it says the seven nations started scrambling. What were they scrambling to do? Were they scrambling to build dams, fortresses, booby traps? Chazal tell us they were scrambling and they went to every hilltop in Israel and started worshipping idols. What were they preparing? Israel's entering the land of Israel. It says the nations were scrambling to start dedicating temples to idol worship throughout the land. That's what they're worried about, because there's a recognition. They're coming, they're bringing holiness to the world. They're coming, they're trying to promote something in the world. It says they started not only being promiscuous, but pursuing every type of defiled relationship under the sun. And that's why the Torah says, don't leave anyone alive. What kind of mitzvah is that? Kill everyone. Because the people had dedicated themselves to the opposite, to the antithesis of anything Am Yisrael stood for. They weren't just standing there saying, we'll fight you, this is our land. They were saying, you represent what's right, you represent what's moral, you represent what's ethical, you represent what's holy. We will take the exact opposite stance. We will fight you on every front. We will take every type of defiled relationship and normalize it. And that's why the Torah says, don't repeat the behavior of the people you're coming to. When the Torah wants to describe the prohibited relationships, the Torah repeatedly says, I don't want you following the ways of the Canaanites. And if you do, I'll spit you out like I spat them out. What were they doing? So you look at Achremot and Kedoshim, you see brothers sleeping with sisters, parents sleeping with daughters and mothers with sons. Everything you can imagine was happening in Canaan. But part of it was, they want to bring holiness, we're going to fight them on every front. They want to bring monotheism, we will promote paganism. They want to promote sanctity, we will promote promiscuity. They want to promote raising children, so in Israel they were burning their children before Molech. What's so funny? What's funny? In that sense, they were trying to kill us. On the spiritual level, they were trying to kill us. And so, when we were coming to the land with the task of promoting holiness in the land, and revealing within the land that there's purity, that there aren't shadows, there's light, Moshe says, I want you to scout out the land of Canaan. I want you to figure out why they're so evil. I want you to understand how we could enter that land and shift what's coming out of that land. It says the land of Israel was the mass producer of idols. The land of Israel, you see, Rachav tells them when they come into Jericho, all the kings of Israel have slept with me. I know where they're all holding. One prostitute says she slept with all the kings of Israel. The land of Israel was a problematic place morally, ethically, intellectually. And we can't do questions now, I gotta finish. Moshe is described from the time he's a baby. What does Batya see in him? Vatere oto kitov hu. She saw him, he is tov. Moshe represents good in the world. What else represents good in the world? Torah. Torah represents kindness. Torah represents good. By the same token, the land of Israel is also supposed to represent tov and good. What does Kalev say? Tova ha'aretz me'od me'od. This land is good. It's very good. When a person strives for good, a person is striving for a good where there is no evil, where it's only good. Not that I have to subdue the evil, but that I am completely good. The Meraglim come back and say, the nation is so mighty. They said, it's not only that the land isn't going to facilitate being so good, but on the contrary, in Israel, you see people have desires that we don't even know about. Look at where it's leading them. And we can't conquer it. And Yoshua, Binun, and Kalev, they say, no! That land is all good. Tova aretz mod meod. Don't tell us the land is so terrible. The land is good. Sal tzinam aleihem. They have issues. The land doesn't have issues. Hashem is with us. We have nothing to fear. And that's what it says in the previous parasha. Moshe tells his father-in-law, he says, come with us, ve'heitavnu lach. We will make you good. Hashem said, ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. What does his father-in-law say? No, I'm going back to my land. Chazal say, converts are difficult to Israel like a white blemish. Tosfos explains when a convert comes to Israel, he is so careful in every mitzvah that in heaven they look at the Jews and they say, why don't you live up to him? Why aren't you as good as that? So there are times that Israel loses through the converts because their piety reflects badly on everyone else. Yitro was the first of the converts. And Yitro said, I'm not coming with you. Yitro said, I'm going back to my country. Because I care for you, I'm not coming with you. Yitro introduced many things. Yitro thanks Hashem. The Jewish people didn't bring a sacrifice of thanks. They left Mitzrayim, and Yitro has to come from Chutz Naaretz, outside Israel, and say, let's give a sacrifice. Let's thank Hashem for this great miracle. Where were all the Jews? What a thing. Think about that. Yitro has to come in as an outsider and say, let's bring a Todah sacrifice. And Moshe tells him, don't leave us. If you come with us, what'll be good for us will be good for you. And he tells Yitro, we will become greater people when we enter Israel, and it's not a threat. If you, Yitro, join us when we're in Israel, Am Yisrael will grow. And that's why Moshe calls Hoshea Yehoshua. Yud Kei will save you. The Targum says, when Moshe saw that Yehoshua was so humble, he gave him the name Yehoshua. Moshe sensed that when Yehoshua enters the land of Israel, he will see greatness and feel like that's beyond me. We see that Yehoshua was so humble because you see that repeatedly he's strengthened. The people strengthen, the soldiers strengthen, the Nesim strengthen. Three times God strengthens him. Three times Yehoshua is told, Chazak ve'ematz. Moshe Rabbeinu strengthens him because he was so humble. The Talmud says, in heaven they held it against Yehoshua. They said, why didn't you decimate the desire for paganism? It says, Moshe didn't do it because he didn't have the merits of Israel. But Yehoshua had the merits of Israel. All of this was because Yehoshua didn't hold himself to be so great. Remember, he was Moshe's Talmud. He was tremendously humble. And he didn't think he was worthy of that. And that's why Moshe blesses him. He sees him so humble, he says, you have to stand up against everyone. Everyone's going to say different. I don't want to see that. Humility hindering your ability to do your task when all the other spies are speaking differently. The Meraglim, it says in the Zohar, were the leaders of Israel, and they knew they could only be the leaders in Chutz La'aretz, because in Israel everyone would grow. Everyone would become great. You know the story of Ben-Gurion, right? Ben-Gurion said to the President of the United States that he has a much more difficult job than he.
Begin.
That was Begin, yeah. He says, I have 4 million prime ministers in my country.
That's the version I heard.
Everyone has to grow. And the growth has to be without arrogance. And the growth has to be focused on how to serve Hashem. And then the leaders had an interest in keeping Israel in the desert. But they didn't understand that the greatness that's revealed in Israel is a greatness where every person's greatness is revealed. And that's why their leadership would be taken away, because everyone else would grow. And we say, technically, there are mitzvot we began with that are chovah. They're like organs that you can't live without. Yet there are organs that you can live without. That's our perspective. But in truth, every organ is critical. Every mitzvah is critical. Every organ has its own value. We never bother to think, what do I need the big toe in my foot for? But if you lose that big toe, then you have a very hard time balancing. You have a very hard time walking. It affects everything you do. We don't factor how much our balance affects everything we do. Pouring a cup of milk, you have to have balance in order to pour a cup of milk. If you're not balanced, you have a hard time pouring it. Well, every organ has tremendous intrinsic value. Every Jew has tremendous intrinsic value, and that comes to play in the land of Israel. When we say, I'm only missing a little bit, that's when I'm missing a little bit from something finite. But when something is infinite, so then, if you're missing a little bit, you're missing a lot. And that's why the Meraglim didn't understand the infinite aspect of Israel, the infinite aspect of Am Yisrael's connection to Israel, where every person has to grow, and Moshe asked them, are there any trees there? Why is he asking about trees and not fruits? Are there any trees there, he asks. The tree only is there to bear fruits. No. The tree is supposed to have a purpose, just like the fruit, not just to give off the fruit. That's why in the Garden of Eden, the tree was supposed to have flavor like the fruit. Because in our perspective, there's a cause and an effect. There's the tree and the fruit that it produces. But in essence, Hashem wanted a world where the tree has the flavor of the fruit, where everything has its own purpose. Nothing plays only a supportive role. That aspect, where everyone has an intrinsic purpose, is what's revealed in the land of Israel. And that's what it says, V'ayah Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. The idea that the tree and the fruit have the same flavor. The idea that I can see that the cause and the effect are really one. The idea that we right now see ourselves very separate from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem created me, I'm different. I can ask myself whether He even exists. I am so different, I am so separate. He is the cause, I am the effect, and I can question Him. Yeah, that's only because I see differences. But the goal, the place where the world is supposed to be headed to, is where I see connection. Where I see the Ribbono Shel Olam in me and in the other person. Where they are one. And so our praise is, how do you love your fellow man? If he's totally foreign to me, the more foreign he is to me, the less I can love him. The more I see him as part of me, the more I can love him. And that's why the story of the Meraglim comes next to the mitzvah of challah. Right after the Meraglim, Hashem gives us the mitzvah of taking off challah. We haven't conquered the land. What are we doing with the mitzvah of challah? The idea of challah is you're taking off something very little. What's so important? But I can't eat the bread before I took off that little piece and said, this is dedicated as challah for Hashem. Right. Because it's teaching me this concept that this allows me to eat the rest of the bread. What's the essence of my making the bread? The essence is my serving Hashem with the little piece of challah, or the essence is the bread I'm going to eat? Both are the essence. Don't look at them as two goals. Look at them as one. The idea that my functioning in this world can connect to my service of Hashem. The idea that in Israel I can connect to nature. The idea that in Israel when I look at nature I see beauty, and I see that beauty as a part of the land, the greatness of the land. The idea that I can see my living here as a blessing on the natural levels, not only on the spiritual levels. Going back to the original idea we began with, that there's chovah, tell me what must I do? There's mitzvah, what should I do? What am I obligated to do? There's reshut, what can I do that will also be a mitzvah? And we want to connect to the land of Israel. That was Moshe's goal, to connect to the land even on the level of reshut, even on the natural level, where I love the land, where I connect to the land, where I see the beauty and the natural and the connection and the that part of my purpose and the purpose of the land, we're supposed to be together. The cause and the effect connect. The idea of the holiness that Am Yisrael can reveal through their connection to the land of Israel. What a